A new mighty military machine has appeared on the battlefield, and it walks on two legs. This 18-foot monster towers over the enemy and marches towards them at up to 35 miles per hour. Impervious to enemy small arms fire and the pilot fighting and air conditioning, this miracle of fusion of man and machine is the ace in the hole to win the Vietnam War. But the idea developed and prototyped 70 years ago never left the testing labs, let alone entering the jungles of Southeast Asia. Why did the military and General Electric seemingly develop futuristic science fiction technology, solving many of the issues with creating two-legged mech suits, only to abandon it in its infancy? This is the hidden story of the walking machine, the Pedipulator. It's the 1950s, World War II is over, and the world heralds in an explosion of amazing new technologies. Everything from nuclear power to microwaves to amazing computers that take up a whole room. But there is one invention, surprisingly, that is well underway. Giant mech suits. That's right, in the mid-decade of the nifty 50s, GE was experimenting with some pretty wild robotic ideas to see just how far technology could be enslaved to serve man. And it all began with a simple enough problem. The US military needed a way to routinely handle radioactive materials during the production of atomic weapons, and employed General Electric to come up with a way that the engineers wouldn't burn their fingers off. Enter our mad scientist of the story, Ralph Mosher. As an engineer at GE, he played a pivotal role in the development of their first prototype called the Handyman, which he detailed in a technical paper as a two-armed master-slave manipulator designed for the manipulation of radioactive equipment. Honestly, the rest of this tale is going to sound pretty Fallout-esque, so hold on to your handles and get those Geiger counters. Facilitating control over the colossal mechanical arms was a wearable control harness, empowering the operator to direct the manipulator's movements. Each gesture or hand movement executed by the operator whilst wearing the harness was faithfully replicated by the manipulator. And it was fluid and accurate, being able to twirl a hula hoop with no effort and casually lift and crush things up to 60 times more than a mere mortal, making the operator a virtual superhero. In fact, part of the original report even highlighted the psychological ramifications of the technology and said that a doctor might have to be on staff for when those operators go power mad. Mosher went on to christen the Handyman as the Cybernetic Anthropomorphous Machine, or CAM for short, envisioning the application of such a control system in a diverse range of tasks and industries, with a big civil application being aimed at the construction industry. But there is just one problem with the current tech, was that it wasn't easily portable. So thus they would come up with their next version called the Hardyman, and it was the first attempt by GE to build a practical powered exoskeleton. This machine was intended to allow the wearer to lift loads of 1,500 pounds, which is 680 kilograms, with ease. Alas, they could never get it to work properly, and weighing 1.5 tons meant that it was impractical for the average man to use. Thus, the engineers decided the arms would need to be attached to a suit that the operator could walk around in. And to fit this all in one suit, it would need to be big, at 18 feet tall. When I think of giant walking robots, I think science fiction, and there is no greater science fiction universe than perhaps Star Trek. I love to imagine what if we had lived in that world and gotten to explore the universe with such crazy technology, much like the walking robots that we're looking at today. Well, thanks to today's video sponsor, you don't have to imagine it because Stellar Trek Fleet Command is here. This fantastic game allows you to explore the entire galaxy of Star Trek, meeting iconic characters, recruit them to pilot legendary ships, and explore the great beyond. Those characters include pretty much every major player from The Next Generation, the original series, the J.J. Abrams films, Discovery, and more, including Kirk, Spock, Michael Burnham, and Data and Geordi. It's actually kind of ridiculous how many characters there are. This also includes the ships, with a huge range from the USS Enterprise, the Romulan Warbird, and the Klingon Bird of Prey, and you can control your own station
at the edge of Federation space. But you're not alone out there. You can join millions of players, forge alliances, and defeat your enemies to conquer territories. You can choose your faction and explore new worlds on an intergalactic missions together. And the best part is that this is all free. Every month, new events and new content is added to the game, and as part of the 5th anniversary, the team behind Star Trek Fleet Command is giving a ridiculously good bonus to new players joining in on the action. You want to use the code WARPSPEED to get 10 epic shades of Kurt? That gives a massive benefit to any ship that he's on. They provide amazing defensive stats whilst also providing strong buffs for any ship that they're on. So write down that code, or pause this video, and just reminded that this code is only for new players. I'll see you among the stars in Star Trek Fleet Command. We're now in the early 1960s, and the US military was impressed with the work so far. So they've asked GE if they could make an operator machine using their handyman tech. The Army wanted a vehicle that could navigate rough, steep terrain, push through dense vegetation, step over felled trees, and swindle around standing ones whilst nimbly carrying up to a half ton in men and material. And GE hit back with this monster machine, the Pedipulator. This chunky mech had two 12-foot legs that could telescope in and out, long arms, and a control cabin to allow the operator to work in all weather conditions. And work it could, lifting 8,000 pounds, moving at 35 miles per hour with many different attachments to its telescopic arms. The controls were so sensitive that it could either push aside an entire loaded Jeep in the mud or lightly step on a light bulb without breaking it. And you might notice that the operator isn't actually sitting during use, rather is fully strapped in, pulling on the levers to move each leg back and forth as the robot walks across the terrain. But you might ask, how on earth is this vehicle balancing when it looks like a simple gust of wind could push it over? Well, this is where Mosher was brilliant. The human operator would stand on a board that would rock back and forth, and the natural two-leg balancing of a human would translate through it to the actual mech's feet. There would be no AI or computers required. The team developed a prototype that was so flexible that it could even bow to generals when they came to see their progress without toppling over. Mosher believed that the machine would be perfect for several civil applications, such as the forest industry, where it could make short work of entire trees. Able to cut them down and move them to trucks as easy as a housewife prepares a roast in the kitchen. His 1960 words, not mine. But it gets even better. What if you have multiple of them? That's where you enter something called caterpillar mode. Three or more of these mechs would be able to join together in sort of a tonga line that would increase speed, cargo space, and stability, perfect for moving along highways or more extreme unstable terrain. The military was impressed. Here was a machine that could do it all and might be the secret weapon that they were looking for to win in the dense jungles of the Vietnam War. It was even forwarded to NASA as consideration to walk on the moon for the upcoming Apollo missions. No spacesuits required. Alas, there were some major flaws with the machine that made the US Army take a pause. For one, the machine for all its uses burned through gas like crazy, like more than a typical army tank. Plus the sensitive controls that allowed it to pick a pencil off a desk, they would fall apart in actual combat conditions such as humid Vietnam. The long legs may have been intended to clear obstacles, but they also made the center of gravity far too high, leaving the machine all too susceptible to being knocked over. Plus, with its total height reaching up to 18 feet, it also limited its ability to walk through passageways. How could one pick up fallen logs in a forest if one couldn't travel through the forest, hitting every branch on the way down? Given a second of logic, this whole concept falls apart. So GE returned to the drawing board and sat down to figure out a better way forward. And the answer clearly was, more legs. You don't get the label mad scientist without being able to talk the military into continuously funding all of your projects. And Mosher was the best of the best. He understood the flaws, too tall and too unstable, and came up with this. Meet the walking truck robot. It was much shorter at 11 foot tall, but still weighed 3,000 pounds. While it would actually have four legs, it could actually balance on two of them, giving it the ability to walk over and around large obstacles. It could walk forward and backward, and it could turn around on the spot with a, frankly, slow speed of 5 miles per hour. It had a cargo carrying capacity of 500 pounds, which is relatively impressive when you realize it could carry that on one foot, and it could drag up to 1,000 pounds behind it on a sled. This was all powered by a 90 horsepower gasoline engine that drove a pump for high pressure hydraulic system. The legs moved by hydraulic actuators, with the servos being hydromechanical with no electronical elements, meaning that it was perfect for that eventual nuclear war. General Electric was so proud of this new model that they ran a full-page ad talking about it and how it was the future of the US military, that tanks and cars need not apply. But this monster machine wasn't without its flaws, including how hard it was to operate. Mastering the operation of this walking truck required a substantial 10 to 15 hours of training, with, surprise, surprise, Ralph Mosher being the sole GE employee to achieve proficiency. Mosher boasted about the experience, describing as if it was crawling on all fours, but with remarkable strength, an accomplishment driven by his dedication to the device. However, despite the mechanical assistance from the hydraulics, the immense physical effort depleted operates in a mere 15 minutes. It was tiring to use. Contrary to the analogy of crawling, the walking truck's long spindly legs demanding precision in its placement, complicating matters as operators couldn't visually confirm where they landed. And you can see it in a lot of the videos that they released around the time. The operator demonstrates great capability at controlling the arms, but the legs are stationary because they couldn't see very well behind them to see where they landed. The military application of the prototype also faced a critical flaw related to the hydraulic fluid. The extensive fluid required for the operation exceeded the capacity for sustained movement. Although GE proposed a solution involving external tanks in the lab, the military remained skeptical. Regrettably, only one prototype was ever built, and it never got tested out in the real world. But you can see it today at the US Army Transportation Museum in Virginia. But it wasn't just the Americans that came up with this technology, but the Russians too in the 1970s, although it's hard to find much more information about their attempts. Let me know if you have any sources, because I'd love to do a second video on that. So whatever happened to the technology? Well, surprisingly, the research wasn't wasted at all. Ralph Mosher would go on to start his own robotics company, called Robotics Inc., that would use the tech to develop arms to handle radioactive materials, operating underwater submersibles, and even be used in outer space to control remote robotic arms. And there is an interesting footnote. Whilst the technology never went anywhere back in the 1950s, we might actually see it re-emerge in a big way. Thanks to the developments in the world of robotics such as Boston Dynamics, we've pushed through the issues that plagued these early walkers, and such, there isn't much else stopping those 12-foot monsters from returning to the fray. AI can be used to solve many of the balance issues and assist at moving at speed, and the new micro-reactors, or perhaps solid-state batteries, could solve the power issues. So who knows, maybe you'll actually get your giant anime robot in your lifetime. This video could have not been possible without research done from Blackgate.com. Thank you very much for collecting many of the assets and stories featured in the video today, and I do recommend that you go check them out. Thanks for watching. Hey, just a reminder to check out Star Trek Fleet Command. Help the general by clicking on the link below and checking out the game. It's a lot of fun, and I'm sure you'll love once you get there.